presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Rick Tyler.
And I'm Mark Martin. We're glad you're with us this evening, and we want to welcome you here every Sunday at 7 p.m. right here on New Visions Radio.
Now, is that 7 p.m. Eastern time or Pacific time?
Oh, I'm glad you said that, Rick. It's Eastern time. Since we're on the East Coast, I thought this was the whole world. I thought everything revolved around
yeah,
us.
Yeah, we tend to do that, don't we?
Oh, but it's been good. We've had a good week so far, it being the first day of the week. And I just wanted to say that we want to thank Ray Powers and New Visions Radio for what they're doing for us, allowing us to be able to broadcast. And also, Rick, people can contact us. How do they contact us?
Well, they can reach me at rick@prophecyhope.com. That's my email address.
Yes, and you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. And our website is prophecyhope.com. If you ever wonder how to spell prophecy, it's P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y and then hope. Sometimes we get that messed up. I know a lot of people think because we are prophecies of hope, they think they have to type in that whole web address. But our address is just prophecyhope.com.
Yeah, that's right. And we hope you do take a moment or two to visit our website. Take a look at the things that are on there. It tells a little bit about who we are as a ministry. And you will find lots of resources there. You can find sermons that we have given. You can find archived radio programs. Feel free to bounce all over the place there on our website.
Yeah, there's also newsletters.
And if you don't mind, you can like our Facebook page also.
Yes. I'm not on Facebook, Rick, so I forget about those things. But I was talking to a guy that works with me just the other day, and he was saying, you know, Facebook is just a tremendous way to reach people. And I've found that to be true, even though I'm not on there.
It is. And, of course, you can find our Facebook page, Prophecies of Hope. And we're based in Stanton, Virginia.
Yes. In fact, if you're ever coming through the Shenandoah Valley and you're on either Interstate 81 or 64, right about where they intersect. But if you're ever in the area, feel free to stop by. Give us a call. You can find our number on the website, and we'd love to meet you. You're welcome to come. We meet every Saturday morning, which is the biblical Sabbath, at 9:30 for what we call Sabbath school. And then we have our worship service that begins at 11 o'clock. And usually we're through about 12 or 12:15. Isn't that about right?
Yeah, that's right. And on every Wednesday evening, we have a Bible study. And, you know, I get comments all the time from visitors to our Bible study that say, this isn't like any other Bible study they've been to.
That's true.
And it's because no question is off limits. We don't mind talking about anything straight from the scripture, and we're going to use the Bible to answer the questions that come to us.
Amen.
And most of the time we do some sort of study. Right now we're in the middle of Romans.
Yeah, it's good.
But sometimes we just throw the study out the window because someone has a very important question they need to ask.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing. The only thing that we use is the Bible.
That's it.
In the study. Also, you know, something that I forget about from time to time, we stream the Sabbath school and the worship service every Saturday morning between 9:30 and noon Eastern time.
Yes, you can find that live stream right on our website at www.prophecyhope.com.
All right. So before we get this study going, friends, we're glad you're tuned in once again. And I'm going to ask you, Rick, if you would open with a word of prayer for us.
Okay. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the ability to open your holy scriptures and to find out more about the plan of salvation, the things that you have in store for us in the future. And we can find out about what you've done for us in the past. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the living word, Jesus Christ. I ask a blessing on all those who hear the things that we talk about and discuss today. May it be all to your honor and glory. And I pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You know, Rick, I don't know exactly what direction we were going to go in today. We sat down here a few minutes ago and just said, okay, what's the topic today?
Well, I think the topic needs to have something to do with this monumental election that's coming up this week.
Yeah.
And I know there's been I heard the other night that already 23 to 25 million people have voted already early in this election. So I think there are a lot of people interested in the outcome. Now, let me tell our listeners right at the outset. I don't think what we say on this program should influence them one way or another on who to vote for. I think that's a matter of conscience for them.
Sure.
But I think in everything we do in life, we need to apply biblical principle to what we do and say, all the things, all the moral decisions we have, all the minute decisions that we have. I think God has given us a way to live that is not only acceptable to Him, which is the most important thing, but it also gives us a way to live that is most beneficial to us.
You know, I couldn't agree more. And the thing that I think, Rick, for me, as I learn and the more I studied the Bible, is many years ago, I didn't think that God was interested in certain things or certain aspects of my life. You know, you think of this creator that has all of this knowledge and this power, this wisdom, this love. Well, what could he possibly want to do with, you know, maybe I have a hobby and I'm interested in that hobby. Well, you know, you are a father, you have children, and you're very interested in the things that they want to do, even though they're grown up and out of the house now.
Yeah, that's right.
You want to take part in their life. And I think that God is just as interested in the little details of our lives, things that we can pray about, we can ask Him and invite Him into our lives and ask Him to guide and direct us in any decision, whether it's the purchase of a car, whether it's the purchase of a home, the purchase of a watch, whatever it is, you know, is this a wise decision? And I think that's what you're saying. Even in something like an election coming up, which affects hundreds of millions of people, right? This is a pivotal point in history, and we should consult our Creator and ask for His guidance in making a proper decision.
I couldn't agree more with that. You know, it's our right to vote, okay? It's the way that our country works.
Sure.
But we can't assume that everybody's going to vote. In fact, it's our right to stay home,
That's
isn't
true.
It? And I know, Mark, I don't think you have ever personally voted. I don't think you have.
I haven't. And I know there might be some people that get angry at me over that.
Yeah, I've seen that personally.
Yeah,
I know someone that's been angry at you. And I understand where they're coming from. In fact, that person said, you know, one of my relatives fought in the war, and they fought for this democracy. They fought for your right to go to the polls and choose the people that represent us.
Sure.
And I think what you came back with was, well, they fought for me to stay home that day.
If I choose to.
If you choose to.
Yeah. And look, you've heard me say this. I don't discourage people from voting. I'm grateful that there are people who do that. And I have to be completely honest. You know, we all grow up in a certain environment, and we carry baggage with us from our past. No matter how hard we try to get that out sometimes, there are nuances of that that affect my life, whether I want it to or not.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. Sometimes it's hard to get. Sometimes we need to embrace those things because they're good things.
Right.
Sometimes we need to let those things go.
And I grew up in an environment where I was taught as a child that, well, you know, we don't vote. We don't vote. And I, in my mind, I'm laying it all on the table here. I know that I'm past that because I know when I look at the Bible, there's nothing wrong with being politically involved. Daniel, in fact, was politically involved. Daniel was right there with Nebuchadnezzar and made some major decisions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego also. These were men that the king depended on to do things. So what I was taught as a youngster religiously was wrong, that I couldn't get involved.
I see.
But the thing is, I also am a firm believer that God is in full control of things. So my vote may or may not affect something.
Well, let's explore that a little bit.
Sure.
What do you mean when you say God is in control. Now, I know you mentioned Daniel.
Yes.
Daniel was part of the government of Babylon. How about Joseph?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Joseph was part of the government of Egypt.
Absolutely. Yeah, and he preceded Daniel by a long way.
By many, many years. You know, the account of Joseph being given the second position in overall of Egypt.
Very responsible.
Is in the meat of Genesis, we might say. Genesis 41, 42, right in there.
Yeah.
41:41 actually says, "And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt.'" So God has a way of putting his people where he needs them to be.
Yes, and we have proof of that also in Daniel. If you remember in Daniel chapter 2, when Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and Daniel wanted to be able to tell the king the dream and its interpretation, he goes and prays to the Most High God, and God reveals to him what this dream was. And here's what Daniel says, beginning in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Well, verse 19, it says, "Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, so Daniel blessed the God of heaven." So in other words, he had prayed about it. Mm-hmm. God gives him, reveals to him this answer, and so Daniel responds with another prayer, and here's what he says. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. "Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings.
Mm-hmm.
He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding.'" Now let me say this. This is what becomes offensive to people on the surface. But after they think about it, they say, "Well, I can't really argue with that." And here's the point. I believe that the president that is in office today, right now, is who God wanted in office to accomplish whatever his purpose is, whether I would vote for him or I wouldn't. He sets up kings and he removes them. My understanding of Scripture is we are so far and so close to the time of Christ coming that whoever wins this election, it's going to be within God's arrangement, within his will, that this person would win, whoever it is.
I agree with you. I think these verses that you just read really teach us an important principle, that God is in control of all the things that happen here on this earth.
Amen.
And when he decides it's time, where he's going to take away those angels we see in Revelation that are holding back the winds of strife, he's going to take those angels away so that things happen on this earth that may be not according to what he would have.
Sure.
And then the time is very, very short. That then it could be just weeks or months or just a few short years.
We don't know.
We don't have any idea. But, you know, I want to get back to this idea that we're discussing about how God is in control. What's interesting to me is God used Pharaoh here in Genesis chapter 41
yes,
to put
did.
Joseph second in command.
But very responsible young man.
Yes. And in doing that, that's when the Jewish people or the children of Israel came to be in the land of Egypt.
That's
and
true.
Over the period of the next 400 years became slaves.
Yes.
So at the end of that 400 years, God raises up a Pharaoh who he knows is going to have a hard heart and will not let the people go. Even when God asks him through Moses to let his people go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in all these accounts in Scripture, we see tremendous views of other things in Scripture. To me, the setting up of Joseph as the second in command over all the known world at that time is a type of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being given all the power and authority that his Father has, that God has.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I like that.
Also, we see at the end of the 400 years, different Pharaoh, all the descendants of Joseph are there. You know, all of Jacob's children, all their descendants are the children of Israel.
Right.
This other Pharaoh had the plagues fall on him and all his people.
Right.
And that's a view of the seven last plagues that Revelation talks about.
That's true.
So God, in doing all these things, has given us a view of our past, of our future, all these things. In fact, that's why our ministry is called Prophecies of Hope.
That's true. That's right. It's beautiful, though, how these things are laid out, and we can look in the past and see how he's going to deal with things based on the things that are there. We've talked about this before, those plagues that you mentioned. In Revelation, we find the seven last plagues.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting, and I think we've talked about this on this program before, that the 10 plagues that fell on the Egyptians, the first three affected everyone there, but the seven last plagues only affected those who weren't doing the will of God.
That's right.
And it kind of falls into the same category. So again, we see a type, like you said, of a type of Christ. We see a type of the end time and the return of Christ.
That's right.
So back to what we were talking about here in with Daniel and with the decisions that we have to make. And friends, if I offend you for not being one that votes, that's not my intention. But I put my confidence fully in the will of God and what he has planned. And I believe that his will take place either way. And I would never discourage anyone. And that's one thing that when people hear me say, I would never discourage you from voting. That's just my choice at this point. That might change. Who knows? That might change after this election. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I think just putting the pulse, checking the pulse of the American people, I know that with this election in particular, there's a lot of people disappointed with the choices in the election.
Sure.
Whether you're on one side.
On either side, it doesn't matter.
On either side, it doesn't make any difference. You would never vote for this one or you would never vote for that one. But then you take a look at the person that you might vote for and you think, well, that's not a very good choice either.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know how many times I've said this to you over the last 6 months. I think the devil is laughing all the way to the bank because the devil wants to put us in a position where we have to choose bad or worse.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else.
Right.
So unlike you, Mark, I think I'm probably going to vote.
Okay.
Now,
that doesn't disappoint me.
Yeah.
It doesn't shock me.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I'm left with this. Who do I vote for? Because neither one of them, in my estimation, lives up anywhere close to the principles of Scripture.
I hear you.
And I would prefer to vote for someone who is just completely forthright, honest, and upright, and lives their life in a way that's very commendable in the way we look at God's moral law, according to God's moral law. And I personally, I don't think the choices that we have this year, either one of them, are very commendable in that way.
No, I hear you. And I think that I don't know. I just kind of go with the flow, you know. I have to deal with the laws that are put forth. Whoever wins, whatever laws they put forth, I have to live within those laws, so long as they don't go against God's laws. And that's a biblical principle.
That is a biblical principle. In fact, that's one of the things that we talked about before we started the program, that we knew we were going to get to the place where we're talking about what does the Bible say versus what man says, what do governments say, what happens when those are in conflict, what happens when they're not in conflict.
Right.
So I think the Bible gives us some direction. In fact, I think Jesus himself gives us some direction in this area.
Yeah, let's take a look at that. I think we can find some of that in the New Testament. Do you remember the text where they wanted to know if he should pay tax?
Right.
Where was that? I think you...
In Matthew chapter 22, there's a place.
Yeah, kind of set this up for us a little bit.
Matthew chapter 22, and I'd start in verse 15. Here's another one of those times in verse 15 where the Pharisees are out to get Jesus.
Yeah.
They're taking every opportunity they can. You know, how many thousands of Pharisees were there? And they're all out to get this one guy, Jesus, huh?
Well, he was pretty controversial, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Starting in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 22, I'm just going to go ahead and read.
Sure.
Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians. Now, let me stop right there. Mm-hmm. What is interesting to me about this text is that it shows the religious leaders of the day and the Herodians. Now, the Herodians were those that followed Herod.
Right.
So the religious leaders and the governmental leaders.
So it's political. This is both political and religious.
Yes. They are making a union as to how to destroy Jesus.
Mm.
Interesting, isn't
That's it? Very interesting when you understand end time prophecy, isn't it?
Right. Now, in this country, we have tried to separate religious things mm-hmm. from governmental things. So separation of church and state, right?
That's why this country was established.
It was. If you understand anything about the history of this country, you'll know that it was tremendous persecution in Europe that forced people to look for the new world and look for freedom to worship in their own way in the new world. So,
which is a blessing.
It's a tremendous blessing.
You know, I'm so grateful that we live in this country, even though people might look around and say, where are we headed? It's a mess. Well, you know, it's still, to me, it's still the greatest place on this earth to live.
That's right. Let's get back to Matthew 22.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have the Pharisees in verse 15, and it adds the Herodians, or the government, in verse 16, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. You don't care for any man, but you regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?
Okay, so when it says, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar, we're talking about the government. Who yes. Caesar was the ruler, I guess we could say, at the time, right?
Yes, they were in the Jewish people at that time were in bondage to the Roman Empire.
Right.
So they had to pay taxes.
Yes, they did.
So in verse 18... will continue. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Verse 19, Show me the tribute money. And they brought him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is the image and superscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Hmm. And when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way.
You know, I hear so many people quote the first part of that verse you read, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and they stop.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that a lot,
they
too.
They stop.
Yeah.
But there's a danger in stopping there. And that's mm-hmm. When we started the program, we were talking about when you make a decision to do things, whether it's voting or whatever we do, we do it with God in mind. We need to render unto God what is God's, while at the same time trying to render unto Caesar's what is his, as long as it doesn't override the things that God has laid out. You see what I'm saying?
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because we are even government agencies have put God first, like the Marine Corps. Their motto is God, country, and then the Marine Corps.
Okay.
God, country, corps. So even though it's a government agency, they recognize that putting God first is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Let's just if you don't have any more comments, I don't know. Were you going to say something else?
No, I don't.
It's important here, this principle that Jesus is conveying to them. And that is, if we have the ability and it doesn't get in the way of God's commandments, we need to obey the rules of secular governments.
Okay. So let's look at what's an example of something that the government might say to do. If they tell me to pay my taxes, Jesus is saying here, pay your taxes.
Yeah, that's right.
And he doesn't say, well, only if it doesn't go over a certain percentage.
Yeah, that's right.
He says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar. So if the government raises taxes on me, I might not like it, but I need to pay those taxes. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I think And if you think it's not a good idea that the government raises those taxes, I think our government is designed where you can peaceably protest those things as long as you stay within the law.
Yeah, I have done that. You know, some in the county that my business is in, the taxes went up just tremendously. And so I went down to the county building. They gave me a time to come, and I met with them. We had a little hearing. They wanted to hear what I had to say, and they cut the taxes. I mean, I still had to pay more, but they recognized, yeah, maybe this was a little unfair.
Yeah, well, you know? It's great.
And it is. That's a wonderful system put in place.
Yes, it is.
And that's the way God intends it to be. We should be able to negotiate and talk and have that interaction.
Yeah, I agree with that. So you asked me what type of things.
Yes.
But the list is endless if you really think about it. I mean, shouldn't we do our best to obey the speed limits?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's definitely.
And if we don't obey the speed limits, there's consequences for that.
There's a
right?
tax that you pay. Right?
Yeah, pretty
we call
much.
It a fine.
They call it a fine, but it's a tax that you pay,
sure.
right?
Because really, if I don't do that, if I don't obey the speed limit, I'm putting either my life or someone else's life in danger.
In general, yes, right? I would agree. So I have to admit, it's hard for me to stay exactly below the speed limit.
Me too.
But, you know, those are just really basic examples.
Sure.
Also, let's think about this for a minute. There are a lot of things that the government says, well, that's fine. It's legal. You can go ahead and do it.
Right.
But according to God's word, those things are directly against his word or immoral.
Okay. Give me an example of that.
Some places in Nevada, prostitution is legal.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if it's legal, can I go out to Nevada and pay for sexual favors?
Well, according to the Bible, it's wrong.
According to the Bible, it's wrong. That's
yeah.
correct. So there are things that the government allows us to do that we need to be careful of because there's a higher moral code.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. That's a very good illustration, too, by the way.
There's other things. There's lots of other things. You know, how we treat people in business and all that, you're very well aware
yes.
of how we treat someone in business. There's a moral code that maybe goes over and above what the government says that we have to do.
Right.
Isn't that true?
Yes, and there are things that you can do in business where people have no recourse and you could make a decision whether it was right or wrong. And that's what you're saying. In other words, I could mm-hmm. say, somebody could say, well, he didn't treat me fair. He charged me for this and I only got this. Well, if the government says that's okay, you know, but I don't know. I was just telling you today about a situation where
yeah.
I'm going over and above and I think the customer recognizes, yeah, you're giving me more than what you should have given.
Yeah, you know, Mark,
and that's what
I guess
I want.
What I didn't say to you today when you relayed that story, Mark had a customer today that, you know, there was a big brouhaha about something that happened there at Mark's business. And I was going to say to Mark and didn't get a chance that I guess you're laying up your treasure in heaven.
That's it. Yeah.
You know, the Bible says lay up your treasure in heaven where there's no moths, there's no rust, that thieves don't break in and steal it.
Right.
You know, when we lay up treasure in heaven, it's treating other people according to the golden rule, which
yes.
is the way we would like to be treated.
And really, it's a good witness to those who know who I am. You know, I mean, if somebody, let's face it, you'll never please everyone.
That's true.
You know, even a pastor, when a pastor gives a sermon, a lot of people might like it, but there's going to be one or two people there to say, you know, I really didn't like that sermon.
Yeah.
And usually the reason they don't like it is because he's stepping on their toes a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah, it could be. Let's get back to the concept of render under Caesar's the things that are Caesar's.
Mm, okay.
Let me ask you. There has been points of time in this country where there has been a draft where the government mm-hmm. says, you will go and fight for this country.
Mm, yeah.
In fact, I know that I kind of hate to bring this up, but since it's in the news right now, I think it might be a good example. There is a movie coming out, and I don't recommend that anybody go and see this movie because I've made the moral choice not to go see a lot of the things that are in the theaters today. I think there's a lot better things I can be doing with my time and energy.
Amen.
But this movie is about a man who was a conscientious objector during a time when there was a draft situation in this country. And he ended up saving many, many men that were in the armed services because he put his faith in God and refused to carry a weapon.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, I just think the movie is so commercialized, and there's a lot of things that I probably don't need to expose my mind to. So I don't necessarily want to see the movie at all, but I know the story of this man. His name is Desmond Doss, and he's the most decorated soldier that's been a conscientious objector.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
And so he made the conscious choice not to carry a weapon, not to do harm to any other human being.
What about a police officer? You know, he's got to carry a gun, right?
Yes.
And, I guess some don't, but most of them would. And I know good Christian men who are police officers, and they carry a gun.
Yeah, I have a brother-in-law that's a police officer.
Okay. So I think a lot of people would look at the commandment that says, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
Right? And say, well, why is that officer carrying a gun?
If he's a good Christian, why is he carrying a gun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we need to address that.
Okay.
Let's look at that commandment real quick. That's in Exodus
chapter
20.
It's got to be in Exodus 20, right?
Yeah, that's where it is. And it's actually the sixth commandment. Now, I read that from the King James, and then I'll read that from the New King James. It's Exodus chapter 20.
From the King James, it just says, thou shalt not kill. And that's Exodus 20 and verse 13.
Yeah, so now mine says you shall not murder.
Ah, okay.
And that sticks closer to, that is exactly what the Hebrew is. It's the, I think, I'm no Hebrew scholar, but I think the word is ratsah.
So it is. I'm looking it up on my computer now, and it actually means to murder.
Yes.
That's the main.
So when we look at if a police officer pulls his gun in self-defense, if somebody's going to take his life, and he shoots them in self-defense, that's not cold-blooded murder.
No, it's not.
But when we look at the Bible example of Cain and Abel, what Cain did to Abel was murder.
Yes.
That's what it was.
You'll find that in Genesis chapter 4 or 5,
that's
right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we look at these things, I think that we need the police force for protection. And in fact, when we pay Caesar's things to Caesar, that goes to the paying of armaments, right?
Yes.
It goes to the military. It goes to the police force, the fire department, all of these things that are used to protect us from the enemy.
Yes, that's true. And I think in a way we could say that the armed forces are there to protect us also.
Sure.
So I think it's got to be a deep matter of conscience for someone.
It does. It does. In fact, you know, I think we have talked about this before. We know men that have a permit to carry a weapon, to carry a handgun.
A concealed handgun.
A concealed handgun.
Permit,
and,
yes.
And we live in the state of Virginia, and you can do that here. I think there are some places where you can't. Mm-hmm. In fact, here, it's okay that you can put a gun on your side, and as long as it's not concealed, you can walk around with it.
Yes,
right there.
That's called open carry.
Yeah, so my choice is to not have a permit and to not carry a weapon, because I feel I may be asking for trouble if I carry. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
That's just my personal choice.
Well, how does faith come into that also?
Well, you know, I'll tell you this, and I'll, boy, I'm really bearing my soul here, everybody, yeah. today. I have a terrible fear of flying. I don't, and it's not because I don't like flying. I think it's a really awesome thing. But it's just, I know enough about mechanical things and enough about the aviation industry that it bothers me a little bit. But I have to say that mm-hmm. I was talking to someone not that long ago, and I feel like if God has a purpose for me, if it's in this ministry or wherever it is, that reduces that fear tremendously. In other words, I would, if somebody said, well, you know, you need to be in California tomorrow, I would get on a plane and I would fly to California. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I won't do. I don't want to necessarily have to do it. But I feel like God can overcome anything in my life if he wants to preserve me for whatever his purpose is.
I agree.
You see what I'm saying?
I agree. And that's where your faith comes in.
It does. And I really believe that.
Let's get back to this idea of the contrast between government and religion.
Okay.
Let me ask you something. Is there evidence in the Bible that Jesus ever actually paid his taxes?
That's a good question. It doesn't appear that he was one that would be taxed, but didn't a question come up about that?
It did, and it's in the Gospel of Matthew again. I'm kind of needling you a little bit because I know the answers to some of these questions. Matthew chapter 17. And I'm, Mark, if you don't mind reading, I'm going to have you start in verse 24.
Matthew 17:24. It says, When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free." You want me to keep going?
Yeah. You know, maybe you should stop there because there's a lot here. Okay. But keep reading to the end of the account.
Okay.
And because it is an interesting account.
Yeah. Verse 27, it says, so let's back up. Peter said to him, "From strangers," because he had asked him, From whom do the kings of the earth take the taxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, from their sons or from strangers? And Peter said, "From strangers." And Jesus said, "Then the sons are free." Verse 27, "Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. When you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them, for me and you." So it seems there that Jesus was paying his tax.
He was. And your Bible indicates this was the temple tax. In other words,
that's
we talked about the tax that they would have to give to the Roman government.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a temple tax that the Jewish people needed to pay. And it was to keep the temple going and all the needs of the religious system going.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the religious leaders coming and asking if Jesus ever paid his temple tax. And, you know, Peter, we get the idea in Scripture that he was a little bit impetuous. He really stepped out there on sometimes. And in fact, it was Peter who drew his sword, wasn't
That's
it?
Right, yes.
In the Garden of Gethsemane to defend Jesus when the mob came to get him.
So he was actually, he must have had a permit to carry.
Ah, that's true. In fact, we could go there. We could come back to that account because it teaches us some important lessons.
Yeah, I think we should.
But here Peter says, basically, of course he pays the tax as if to defend Jesus, right? But I don't think Peter thought this through too much, because when he comes back to Christ, of course, Jesus says to him, "What do you think, Peter? Whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute?" In other words, here Jesus is the Son of the Most High God.
Hmm.
In other words, he has the right to be considered a child of God. He is the Son of God. So basically, he doesn't pay any taxes. That's what Jesus is trying to say.
Right.
It's not required of him. In fact, just for the asking, I'm sure Christ could have anything in the universe.
Sure. And it's all been given to him.
It's by inheritance anyway,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
So Jesus' point to Simon is pretty good here. You didn't think this quite through, did you? But that's okay. The lesson here is that Jesus does the right thing as long as it doesn't interfere with his relationship with God.
That's
right?
It.
So
Caesar's things to Caesar, but God's to God.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he performs this miracle, and it's just another one of those miracles that is pretty mind-boggling when you think about it.
Yeah.
It really didn't matter where Peter threw the hook. Right?
He was going to catch that fish.
He was going to catch that fish. It didn't matter whether it's on one end of the lake or the other end of the lake, wherever he threw it in, the first one that he caught, yeah. That was it.
You know, it makes you wonder, did he think about that and say, maybe I need to find a good spot?
Probably not. he probably understood that there was going to be some miracle because
sure
Jesus said it.
Yeah.
It was going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. If we could get that in our mind, if God said it, if God says it to us, we know it's going to happen.
You know, so. I think that was really the theme of what you talked about during our evangelistic series. Mm. We just had a series, in case our listeners didn't know, where we invited the whole community into our church. And it was every night from October 17th through the 23rd.
22nd.
22nd, mm-hmm. Okay. And you gave 7 lectures. And are they on the website?
They are all on the website, yes.
And they're labeled what?
If you go to the website, you'll notice to the left, it says 2016 Bible Prophecy Series.
I was just going to make the comment that you said if we could just get in our minds that when God said it, that's it. It's written in stone, so to speak, right?
He said
just
it,
like
I
the
believe
Ten Commandments.
It. Yeah, that's right.
And so you talk about a lot of different subjects. I enjoyed the first night very, very much. Mm. It was something about the genuine and the counterfeit,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, that's a topic that's near and dear to my heart because we are so fooled today by so many things. You know,
I agree.
And almost
everything. I think you'll find them if you get one started, I don't think you'll be able to press the pause button. They are riveting. They really are. Because Mark uses just the scripture in all of those lectures.
Yeah. That's got to be our foundation. In fact, we were just talking about Peter here. Mm-hmm. And Christ, Jesus not having to pay tax, but he said, this is from both me and you. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So let's take a look at... just for fun here, let's go to Matthew chapter 26.
Okay.
It's in the same book here where we are. And we'll see, you talked about how Peter carried a sword.
Yes.
And here's our proof text for that. Matthew chapter 26, I'm trying to find where I want to start. I guess in verse, where would you start, Rick? 47?
My Bible has a paragraph mark right there.
Okay. Verse 47, and while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword.
Mm. Well, it really doesn't say here that this was Peter, does it?
It doesn't say Peter, does it?
Just one of them that was with him. One of the other Gospels does.
So.
And in fact, if we look at, I think it's the Gospel of John, chapter 18 is where this is found.
Okay.
And verse 10. John chapter 18 and verse 10, it points the finger at Peter.
Okay. I knew I had read Peter somewhere. We were in the wrong account there, but it's the same account. It's just reported differently here. What's it say there, Rick?
It says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And then Jesus said unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it?
So in other words, Jesus recognized that Peter was trying to protect him. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is saying, wait a minute. You know, these things are supposed to take place.
Yes.
Don't interfere with what God has. And you know, we were talking earlier, maybe how do I know that my vote wouldn't interfere with what God's plan, you know, or maybe I would inadvertently be interfering and I wouldn't even know it.
Hmm.
I don't think I could interfere with it, just like what Peter did didn't interfere. But while his intentions were right for trying to save the life of Jesus, Jesus is rebuking him. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and I think the lesson here to us is we need to know and have a relationship with God enough to know what his will is for our life.
Right.
In other words, if we have a relationship with God, just like if we have a relationship with our spouse or with a friend that is close to us, we know what their expectations are. We know how to please them. We know some things that we do will not please them. So it's the same with God. We are made in his image. Therefore, we have the same emotions, the same likes and dislikes and all those things. You know, God must have some of those same emotions, some of those same feelings, inclinations. And it's not to bring God down to our level, but the Bible does say that we are made in his image.
Sure. So, yeah, I think it's important that we recognize, I think we talked about that, I can't remember if it was at the Bible study or Sabbath school, but the emotions that God has. He's
yes.
happy. He can be angry.
The Bible is very clear about all these things.
Yeah,
it's recorded.
We have those emotions. He's given those to us.
Yes. You know, it's interesting that a follower of Christ has a weapon. And we've talked a little about that today. I don't think it's against the scripture to have a weapon for the defense of your body and your family.
Right.
For life and limb, so
sure.
to speak.
Don't you think that's... why would Peter have this weapon? In fact, I guess, you know, an interesting text to me, and if I can find it. It's actually Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 35. That's where I'm going to start. Verse 35, it says, and he said to them, that's Jesus said to them, when I sent you without a money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. Of course, that's a prophecy from Isaiah.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't know that I understand exactly what this means. But it appears that if it would have been wrong for Peter to have a sword, I feel confident that Jesus would have rebuked him for that. But he did say, basically, if you live by it, you're going to die by it.
Mm.
Isn't that what he said?
That's true. You know, I think... from my perspective, the scripture, it's really about what you do with the things that you have. What purpose do you put them for? If I have a weapon and use it for wrong purposes, obviously
right.
the Bible's going to condemn me for that.
Sure.
But if you have a weapon for defense, I think the Bible is clear on those things like we just read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been millions and millions of people who have died in the name of religion.
Oh, yeah.
Who have died by the sword. If you look at history, there's some estimates that say 500 million people died during the Dark Ages because they refused to believe what the religion of the day told them they needed to believe.
Right.
The Crusades are another part of that.
Mm-hmm.
The way that one religion has fought against another religion. But I would like to point out a text that I think is very convincing in this area. Should a person that, in regards to this question, should a person who claims to believe in the one true God, should they be using force against another person because they differ in their beliefs?
I don't think so.
And there's a text, I think, that says no.
Okay.
And it's Jesus himself speaking. When Jesus is with Pilate and he's before Pilate, he says something very interesting, and it's found in John chapter 18. And in verse 36, Jesus actually asked him a question, verse 35. But I want to focus on Jesus' answer.
Okay.
Jesus answered Pilate and he said, John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world," he said. "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Well, let me ask you, Mark, is God's kingdom about this world, about all the things that are happening in this world right now? Or is God's kingdom within us at this particular moment?
Yeah, God's kingdom is within you. And Jesus made that very, very clear.
So should we be fighting for this particular cause or for that particular cause physically?
No.
I don't believe that's the case. I think we can use our intellect, we can use the gifts that God has given us through Scripture and our faith to convince people and to encourage people that they need to follow God with all their heart, mind, and soul, right?
Amen.
But other than that, I don't think force should be used. So I think Jesus bears this out. If his kingdom were of this world right now, then he would have us to fight for him.
Sure. You know, I'd like to find the text, maybe you can look this up, where Jesus was, the apostles had found a group of men who were casting out demons in Jesus' name.
Okay.
And they came back to Jesus and they said to him, "Lord, we found these men that were casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop them." And, you know, it's this. I think this goes along with the same principle of what you're talking about. And Jesus actually rebuked them.
Yes, he did.
He rebuked them. In other words, they were saying, well, because they don't believe exactly what we believe and they're not walking with our group, we tried to stop them from casting out demons using your name.
Well, the account you're talking about is in Luke chapter 9.
Okay.
And we need to read it to get the proper context.
Okay.
But I think what you're saying is really, it's making sense in the context of what we're going to read. And Luke chapter 9, and let me just start reading in verse 49. "And John answered and said, 'Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with us.'" Verse 50 says, "And Jesus said unto him, 'Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us.'"
Yeah. So, in other words, you know, allow people to do what they do. We don't know what the outcome is, right?
That's true.
And we need to allow them the freedom to be able to choose. If I see somebody like these guys casting out demons in the name of Jesus, who am I to try to stop them just because they don't believe what you and I believe?
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And I should never try to force someone to believe anything.
Because, you know, God has told Christ that he's going to judge everybody on the earth. So it's up to Christ to judge whether what they're doing is according to God's will or not.
Yeah, very true. Well, I can't believe we're out of time already. And in the meantime, I guess we need to close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the time that we've had here this evening to open your word, the Bible, to see what you have to say to us through the printed page. And we just thank you that you have preserved it, that we can take these things into our minds, that we can comprehend them. Father, we thank you for your Son, that you sent him here, and that you grant us eternal life as long as we accept him and you in our lives and we live according to your will. We just thank you so much for that privilege. So please be with us until we come together again. We ask for your strength and your blessing upon us and all those who listen. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, Rick, thanks again. I enjoyed it very much.
I did too, Mark. The time flies when we have a study, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. So, friends, we look forward to seeing you again next week. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.